My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
The defense can't just like be expected to like pitch like 10 shutout drives to end the game while the offense does nothing at all. Like eventually at some point the offense needs to step up.
Welcome back in everybody to a Wednesday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports. I'm your host Sandra Krause. That's my co-host Johnny Mac, John McMullen, and we're joined right now by Brandon Lee Gowton. You can follow him on X at Brandon Gowton. Read all his work at bleedinggreennation.com, one of the truly best Eagles websites and communities. You can interact over there as well if you're an Eagles fan. BLG, welcome to the show, brother. How you doing this Wednesday morning?
How's it going, guys?
Great Thursday night football. What could possibly be better? Nobody practices. I just don't like Thursday football. It's not Eagles Giants related. It's league wide related. I just think it's awful. But when you're in it, BLG, and we're there, it's like they have a walkthrough Tuesday. They have a walkthrough Wednesday. There's no real practice. There's very little time to put together a game plan. Now, all that said, I think this is the perfect situation for the Philadelphia Eagles, BLG, because this New York Giants team stinks on ice. Is there a better situation? You lose a game, everybody's panicking, everybody's meeting. AJ, Saquon, the detente to get Saquon, getting AJ and Jalen Hurts together, which is embarrassing from a standpoint. They should be professionals, yada, yada, yada. Bottom line is the New York Giants are the cure to it all. Agree or disagree?
I mean, they should be. They're a bad football team. I think it was good for the Eagles that, you know, they lost to the Saints and kind of avoided building any momentum after beating the Chargers. Beat the Chargers, beat the Saints. Like, okay, you know, now we can beat the Eagles. Probably not, but they're in a spot here where, you know, they're just so banged up. In addition to being bad, you know, no Malik Nabers out for the season. Darius Slayton might not play. The top three receivers right now, I don't think most people could name. I had to look it up.
Wandale
Robinson.
The great Bo Collins with Wandale Robinson. Wandale Robinson is your wide receiver one.
I like Wandale Robinson maybe as your like third receiver.
Yeah, exactly. But
yeah, not your first receiver.
Yeah. It's bad, as you mentioned. But I was shocked how bad Darius Slayton was playing. They might be better that he's not going to be able to play, it looks, with the hamstring. So. Also, Jackson Dart does not look ready to play. You know, Vic said some nice things. I think he had to. He mentioned the gun run game because he is mobile. But throwing the football, he does not look ready. Still a bad offensive line. What do you hang your hat on if you're Brian Daboll? Cam Scataboo?
Seems like they might get Tyron Tracy back. We'll see about that. He's on the injury report. It's been limited. Speaking of the offensive line, they might be missing their starting right tackle as well, so that's not great for them. Yeah. There isn't a lot to hang your head on. I think Dart's mobility is probably one of the things you're more intrigued by if you're the offense there, but he's also on the injury report with a hamstring. We'll play, but you know, maybe he's not quite 100% able to run around like he would be if he was at full health. So, again, everything's really pointing to the Eagles should be able to dominate this matchup.
John.
Let's take it to the Eagles because in a lot of ways I think these Thursday night games are DNA games, so you really can't game plan that much. So you sort of just do what you do well. So I'm going to ask BLG, what the hell does this offense do well? It's so unique. I should say that because the three and out numbers are ridiculously bad, but when they get the first burst down, their efficiency numbers are crazy good. Have you ever seen anything like this? It's so weird.
No, it's really the, and you know, I'm not the first person to say this, but like the Jekyll and Hyde offense, where it's just, it's two different things out of the same entity. And I also looked up this week how many drives the Eagles have had that have resulted in 0 yards or fewer, so negative yards. Yeah. And it's over 20% of their drives this season. That's insane. Like, yeah, you can't even gain a yard on 20% of your drives where you've actually tried to gain a yard ultimately. Like, that's crazy. That's what's the criticism is. It's not like, hey, people are realistically expecting you to go out and score a touchdown on every drive. Obviously, that's not going to happen. But how about, like, maybe move the ball a little bit? Like, that's a very low bar to clear, you would think. And they just can't do that at times. And it's not just like, oh, a drive here or a drive there, right? It's not like, oh, you had one bad drive, but the other drives were good. It's that you have, like, multiple drives like this for a stretch.
Yeah, like clusters.
There's just no answers for a prolonged stretch.
Yeah. Which is, and then you point to, all right, they're 30th in total offense. They can't run the ball because of the offensive line issues and the injuries. They can't pass the ball. But then they're 11th in points per game. And you say, well, some of that is the block, field goal block. So there's other contributions to that. But first in red zone offense. Like, it's just, there's nothing usually – I'll describe it as this. The Giants have a bad offense. They're a bad offense. Usually, if you have a bad offense or a good offense, you do everything pretty well. Here, the Eagles do some things at the top of the league, and they're at the bottom of the league in things that you just pointed out. I have literally never seen anything like it. The efficiency when they get that burst down is some of the best ever. And when they don't get it, it's like they go 4 or 5 drives as being some of the worst ever. And nobody can figure it out. I need an answer.
Nick says a wise man avoids all extremes, as we bring up a lot here. But I guess he didn't necessarily say he was the wise man. So I don't know. I think ultimately it is a thing where it would be nice if there were just one answer, if it was truly just Kevin Petullo, but that can't be the case from the standpoint of there are things that we have seen over the years that there are common denominators here with both Jalen and Nick, where they're also part of this, and some of the players are part of it. The big thing I've been thinking about recently, we've all talked about the offensive line not being up to snuff. I think where we usually think that kind of workload that Saquon had takes a toll on the running back, and usually it does. History tells us that. I think that's less the case this year because of how good he has looked physically, and more the case, and Jordan and I, a lot of and players have talked about that, that toll was taken out on them instead, basically, and they are just not really what they were last year.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think people talk about that enough because I think you're right. Everybody was so hyper-focused on Saquon. I mean, playing that style of football, that physical grinding style, you've seen what it did to really Cam and Landon late last season with their issues. And now you're seeing it a little bit with Lane and
everyone, but Tyler Steen, who didn't play last year.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So true. That's a good point. What do you think of Kevin Petullo so far this year? It's kind of a controversial subject so far through 5 weeks.
I mean, I think he has to be better. I think I was willing to give him more benefit of the doubt, I think, than maybe some others, and talking about how I think he's his own man in terms of where he came from in the NFL. He literally wasn't just tied to the hip with Nick Sirianni the whole way. Fortunately, I think some of what he is doing, and maybe that's because, you know, there's ultimately, still a Nick Sirianni influence here because he is the head coach and presumably is, you know, green lighting the game plan and has involved in that process in some way more than not at all. I think a lot of what people have issues with aren't necessarily the play calls. Like, people talk about things in terms of like play design issues that they then are like, well, that's a bad play call. It's like, well, maybe the call isn't necessarily bad or good, but the design of it is leaving you kind of with no great answers anyway. And my thing with that too is that, and this is the problem, you know, of not having a play calling head coach, is like, you're going to shuffle through offensive coordinators in this setup. And ultimately, I would like the head coach to be able to have some big picture answers. Maybe it's not taking over play calling, but if there are common problems here and things can't get fixed, ultimately the head coach has to somehow find a way to like help come up with solutions to that problem. If it's not Nick Sirianni necessarily, taking over play calling or being the offensive design guy, but he should be able to come in and be like, okay, we're having problems here. We have to find answers for this. Here's somehow how we can do that. And I think just so it's the structure really more than just the person that I
how much
with.
Do you put on like the route concept conversation and the simplicity and some of that stuff? And if you do buy into that, why do you think that is? Is that coordinator? Is that quarterback? Is that head coach? Well, where do you put that?
Well, go by Jalen Hurts' own words. And he says the offense is going to look how Jalen Hurts, referring to himself in the third person, wants it to look like. So when we talk about that, we can't like sit there and be like, well, he has nothing to do with it. He is just his hands are tied behind his back and he's a victim. Like the Eagles don't give him that massive contract that they do and then be like, well, Jalen, you have no power. You have no say at all. Like you have to be beholden completely to the coaching staff. Just know, think about like Jalen Hurts' personality. You think like he's going along with that? Like I don't think he's just like, oh yeah, sure, whatever you say. So he's absolutely, again, a factor in this all. So really, it's not fun to talk about from a standpoint of you can just flip one switch. I think it's really the collective, just like it was in 2023 in a lot of ways. The collective is not getting it right.
Yeah, well, another part of the craziness I'll add to the mix is that all of a sudden, Jalen Hurts is one of the best quarterbacks in football against the blitz. Mm-hmm. And now he can't throw it against zone. Like what? I mean, all we talked about, and Xander can tell you, when they're going to the Super Bowl, ultimately, obviously winning the Super Bowl. And by that point, I had said, just run the go route against the blitz. And it worked, by the way, in the Super Bowl pretty significantly. I believe, and I don't have it in front of me, I believe Jalen was 13 of 14 against the blitz against Denver with two touchdowns, just off the charts good. And then they shifted gears and played, simulated pressure. And you've seen that a couple times this year. Tampa did the same thing. They blitzed early. Jalen was great, handled it. Then they went simulated pressure, and it was a disaster. It's like, it's so bizarre, BLG. Now it's the exact opposite of what it's been before. If I'm Nick Sirianni, if I'm Kevin Petullo, in a lot of ways, I'm like, we thought if we fix this, we'd be that top five offense that everybody would like to see. They fixed it, and everything else has gone haywire. At what point is it the quarterback? Because the other issue is getting up to the line of scrimmage, which is – cost the Eagles with the Saquon Barkley illegal shift. They're bottom in the league there, 32nd. They were 31st last year with Kellen Moore. Now it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
But they were bad at it last year. Mm-hmm. At what point do we have to look at number one?
Yeah. I mean, it all comes down to there's a common denominator here. And there's multiple common denominators, to be clear, but like you have to look at him, and it can't just be the offensive coordinator. And yeah, they are a lot worse, basically, getting to the line of scrimmage, which to me is like an insane topic that we're even talking about. From the standpoint of like, I was saying this to Shio Kapadia, like you go back to the offseason and we're talking about, like the storylines or even just the preview for a given game. No one's talking about this at any point throughout that. I'd be like, oh, one of the things the Eagles have to fix this year, really get better at, is getting to the ball faster. Something that, like, Nick Sirianni talks about, master the things that require no talent. Yeah. Feels to me like getting to the line faster doesn't require, like, insane amount of talent. And even the team is talking about it last week, about how they need to do a better job of doing it. And then, in that game, they're, like, even worse and not any better. So it's just perplexing to me how that's even an issue. And like, it seems silly that we're talking about it. Like, oh, how do they get it fixed? I don't know. Maybe just get to the line faster, like figure it out.
The one thing I would say, though, that bothers me, not bothers me, but I noticed about this conversation, because I agree with you guys. I don't think it can all be off Jalen Hurts, but you do look around the league and it's like, look at what Ben Johnson's doing for Caleb Williams. Look at what the guy in Minnesota has done for quarterback. Like, we see these instances of these coaches getting their hands on these young quarterbacks, and all of a sudden they look a whole lot better. Like, I'm not saying it's none of it's on none of it's on Jalen Hurts, but aren't they supposed to give him a little bit of an advantage? I don't know if they're doing that yet for Jalen Hurts, and that would be my one, you know, reservation or gripe on the Eagles' offensive staff right now.
Yeah, I think the difference there, though, is like those players haven't built up, you know, the cachet that like Jalen Hurts has, where there's more control by the coaching staff. So I think that's a factor. I do agree to a bigger point that, like, I think at the very dumbed down, simple level, the hallmark of good coaching is like doing more with less talent, like elevating your talent.
Yeah.
And I do think, you know, it's fair to question, is this coaching staff always doing that? Especially more so on the offensive BLG, side.
I would say a $250 million offense that's 30th in the league. I think we could say a resounding no that they're not doing that.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, that is also, again, why it's not just a quarterback, and that the coaching staff is an issue in there as well.
Yeah, I would agree. But to Xander's point of, you know, there's a lot of shit with Caleb Williams as well. I think people look at the highlights and go, and that's a tremendously talented player. But I think if you look at consistency, you'd much rather have Jalen Hurts than Caleb Williams. I mean, I just brought up his blitz numbers. You know, he hasn't thrown an interception in 280 passes. There's a lot of good stuff with Jalen Hurts as well. Look, I've said it pretty consistently. I don't know where you are. I think you're on the same page. I don't think he's ever going to be a high volume passer. I don't think that's his game. I don't think it should be his game. I think, to me, that's the hallmark of good coaches. You build around the players you have. I think the Eagles have built an offense that suits the quarterback. So to me, it's about building up that offense to be at a higher efficiency level. I don't disagree with the way they play. I guess I disagree with you know, not being able to fix some of the, like, I often point, when we talk about the three and outs, like, give me a layup. If you have 2-3 and outs, give me a layup. Scheme up a layup.
Right.
It might be a bubble screen, which I hate. It might be a swing pass to Will Shipley. Give me a layup to get back in the feel of the game. Yeah. I don't think they do that well. That's where I criticize the coaching staff.
Sure.
But I think they built the right offense for this quarterback. Is that being too easy on them?
I would say in the past, certainly last year, you know, I don't know, but like going back to what we talked about here, I don't know what this offense is. I don't know what their identity is of this team. So you can say that, like, in theory. I mean, you know, you talk about not high volume, but yeah, obviously this past week was, but I don't necessarily blame them for that because of how they're consistently getting off of schedule. And there's some chicken or the egg there in terms of, okay, maybe you're getting off schedule though, because you're passing more earlier on. But that's the most frustrating thing about this. I think you said it, John, earlier, is just like, you want answers, but it feels like it's hard to get them. And it's just, we're all sitting here wondering why this is as complicated as it is. And quite frankly, again, it's a ridiculous storyline. And that's part of why I feel like AJ had the right to say what he said a couple weeks ago when he's so frustrated. Because it's just like, it's insane that this is even a topic that we're talking about. It shouldn't be this difficult. There's a difference between like underperforming a little bit and totally just like, you know, not even coming close to your talent level. And they're the latter of those two.
Yeah. Which is bothersome to me. BLG, real quick. And I, you know, I don't want to sit up here and play counselor or any of that crap, but how much of an impact does this relationship thing, do you think, have? Because I get it. In a perfect world, you can say, who cares what the relationship is? Just go play ball, go play 60. But you look through the history of sports. I mean, how many great teams, great dynasties have been derailed because of egos, for lack of a better word? You know, how much do you think this is impacting this offense, if at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you look at the comments from Jalen and AJ after the game on Sunday, and I think reflective of, you know, not being on the same page. And I think that's what it comes down to. Like, they don't have to be best friends. There's a world where they're not necessarily best friends, but can, you know, function more together, have a functional professional relationship. And I think that hasn't always been there, and certainly wasn't there on that big play that could have been, you know, a dagger in the game against the Broncos there and that deep pattern. So I think that has to get better. And also, you know, look, if we're going to credit Nick Sirianni for like the culture and fostering good vibes, which I think he has done a good job of at times in the past, more often than not, you know, this is something that I feel like has to be addressed. And, you know, you talk about, you know, tough detailed together. Like, this is, it feels like kind of we're lacking on the together element here.
Yeah. Well, they did have the big meeting, as their buddy Jimmy Kemsky reported.
Yep.
I mean, look, to me, it's. I don't think it's going to help. I don't think it's going to hurt. But, you know, whether Saquon's playing mediator or whatever it is, I do think they certainly have to get on the same page. But I do think these offensive soap opera issues are also letting the defense kind of skate in that game. Because bottom line is, they had a 17-3 lead. And yeah, they could have put the game away if they hit the dagger play. And they didn't, and they weren't on the same page and all that. But bottom, you got Bo Nix out there, 17-3. And they didn't finish the deal in the fourth quarter. Are they skating by because of the offensive issues?
I hear that, and I don't think it's unfair to point that out. I do think about it from a standpoint of, they were on the field for so long. And part of that is they need to get off the field, but also part of it is like the offense needs to stay on the field with all these three and outs. I think here's what I've been thinking about it though. Even let's say the defense got some stops late in that game. Not so much in the final drive, I guess, before that. Like, what's the offense going to do? They're just going to go three out again and punt, and then the defense going to be on the back on the field again. Like, the defense can't just like be expected to like pitch like 10 shutout drives to end the game while the offense does nothing at all. Like, eventually, at some point, the offense needs to step up, especially given how I think it's fair to say the defense has carried their weight for most of the season, whereas the offense has not. And like, the defense is not getting picked up by the offense at all. It's just like, well, the defense has to do it all, or else the Eagles are going to lose. I just don't think that's, I think it's fair to criticize some of the defense, some of the things that happened. I don't think it was a great defensive performance by any means. But I just don't think I'm starting there when I'm starting with the offense.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, offense got to help them out a little bit. Leading the league in three and outs is not helping your defense, no doubt about it. BLG, I do think this too on this team, and I don't know, you tell me if I'm wrong, but I think there has been an overreaction to one loss. We haven't had a loss in a long time. You know, all of the NFL teams lose games. Welcome to the party, Eagles fans. We're back in the rest of the mix. And you got the Giants, the Vikings, and the Giants, BLG. We could be sitting here in 3 weeks, 7-1 at the bye week. Like, all right.
Should be. I would argue should be.
I agree. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. Part of me thinks there's issues. Absolutely. Things we got to address. Things the team has to fix. No doubt about it. But the team's still in a good spot, and it can handle their business for the next couple of weeks and go into the bye week at 7-1.
Yeah, that's a great point, Xander. My thought on this has been, if you ever wondered if there was like kind of like an acceptable time for the Eagles to lose in a game, you know, that isn't like where they're resting their starters, there isn't. Because you would think it might be in a spot where it's an AFC opponent where you're 20-1 in your last 21 games, including a Super Bowl win in there, a blowout Super Bowl win, and a blowout NFC Championship game performance. Yeah, right. And I'm to be clear, I'm not saying like fans should just like let the team skate by. No, absolutely, everyone is within their rights to be frustrated. I mean, they shouldn't have lost a game where they blew a 17-3 lead like that to that team. But just my point being that there's never going to be really true grace for a team, even as well as they can play, to have a loss like that. I do think that you win on Thursday night and you do it comfortably and you make a statement and you have your get right game, and that loss to the Broncos really is put in the past and you're trending in a good way moving forward, but you have to go out and do it.
Yeah, yeah, until that clock struck zero, I honestly believe the Eagles were going to win the game.
Oh, like, I thought they were going to hit the Hail Mary.
Like, yeah, here it comes. Here comes the touchdown, and we're all talking on the post-game show. Oh, right. They won the game somehow again. So well, I really
when you win a game with a blocked field goal, walk-off blocked field goal, when you win a game, you know, with a blocked punt touchdown helping you, I thought they were going to connect on the Hail Mary. Wouldn't surprise me if Jalen ran down there and caught his own pass, as he tried to do, just because they, you know, they found every conceivable way to win. So why not find another way? But to your point, BLG, it's always, if you're going to lose out of conference, number one. Yep. I mean, so that part of it is certainly helpful. At Brandon Gowton, make sure you follow the great BLG on the X platform, bleedinggreennation.com, as Xander mentioned. Not only a great website, but a tremendous community of Eagles fans. If you want to get involved over there, please do that. We're here. I mean, you don't got much time. We always say we have you most Wednesdays, and I always say, right to change your mind because it's so early in the week. It's not early in the week, BLG.
Yeah.
He's going to win the football game. Tomorrow night at the beautiful and sarcastic MetLife Stadium.
Eagles 7.5-point favorites on the road.
That's crazy.
That's a big number. Really speaks to the Giants not being a good team. Right. I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles here to win and cover that spread. I think they will win comfortably. I think they're frustrated after that loss. I think they're going to take it out on the Giants. Team they just own. They always beat the Giants. And, I mean, this is going back to, what, like 2008 now, where they've just had this incredibly dominant stretch for them, nearly spanning 20 years. That's crazy. So much so that the Eagles, like, overtook the all-time record that they had with the New York Giants, which I always think is really insane. I take the Eagles to win. They're going to win comfortably. I think the defense stifles Jackson Dart. It might not be 100%. And then I think the offense maybe probably still has some, you know, some dry spells within that, but I think ultimately do enough to win comfortably.
Yep, good stuff. BLG, appreciate you doing it, man. Make sure you guys follow that Brandon Gowton and go over there, check out the best website, bleedinggreennation.com. BLG, thank you, brother. We appreciate it, man.
See you guys.